Yeah, here we're talking about when Rivka, after 20 years, is expecting her children. Now, unbeknownst to her, she has twins in her womb. And the Torah says, Vayisrotzitzu habonim bikirba. The sons, the boys, were, Yisrotzitzu literally means thrashing each other. Now, what is the thrashing? Is this the regular birth pangs that every woman suffers? That the child is kicking, and if there are two fetuses in the embryo in the womb, both of them are kind of kicking. It's a double kick. I mean, if that's the case, there was nothing special here. She would have known all of that. So for that reason, the Chachamim felt that Yisrotzitzu over here is hinting to something more than the normal kickings that go on and the movement that goes on in a mother's womb. So Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish had two ways of seeing from the word Vayisrotzitzu a deeper message than just the regular ranting and raving and thrashing that one might encounter with two unborn children. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Yisrotzitzu is rotzim. It's like saying they're running. Zerotz laharogase v'zerotz laharogase. One is rushing to kill each other, and the other is rushing. One is rushing and to kill the other, and the other is rushing to kill this one. Now, what does that mean? I mean, how do you know that? It's lashon rotz and ritzutz together, running and thrashing. So it means running to kill. That's one way the Radal looks at it that way. Others say that her question later in the pasuk, she said, Imkein lama ze anochi, if this is so, why is this with me? So she was saying that the pregnancy was hard on her, but that's every pregnancy. So must be that this was something special that was not the typical that other mothers encounter or expecting mothers encounter. So one is running to kill the other, and the other is running to kill the other.
We understand literally, or is this guardian angels? I mean, Malachim, I mean, each one having his own power. I mean,
they must have something ruling them. One other argument is later on when she was told there are two nations in your womb, so nations are different. That would be a clash. Two sons in your womb wouldn't explain the clash. So it shows that the clash was something that was out of the ordinary, which we may yet talk about that. What was different? I mean, they're twins here, and they were totally dissimilar, obviously. That's a hint to what Pshat might be in some of the later Midrashim that we might or might not encounter today. Yeah, why not? That's when you're not provoked. Number one, he's provoked. Number two, if you murder an unborn child, it's not a nice thing, but it's aser midrabbanan. It's not, there were no drabbanan then. It's a mishnah nida. Only a ben yom echad yechayev misa. The Gemara says, less than that, you're not chayiv misa, you're not over in the Sudoraisa. So there were no drabbanans yet, not in the womb in any case. So Yaakov had his tracks covered. What's that? I'm sorry? Yeah. Reish Lakish Omar. Now Reish Lakish is going to look at it a little different. He says, now, this is a typically Jewish explanation. Ze matir tzivuyov shel ze, ve ze matir tzivuyov shel ze. What this is the way it is. The Matnas Kuna explains this very succinctly. He says, what we're not allowed to do, what's forbidden for Jews, a non-Jew is allowed to do. What a non-Jew is allowed, what we do, the non-Jews don't do. So there was a debate over here. The threshing was really a debate that represented the clash of culture, of mentality between the two nations. What's all right for their nation is not all right for this nation. What is all right for this nation is not all right for that nation. So each one took the mandates of the other and said, no, they're permissible. That's not a problem. Esav acts like a Russia. That's his mandate. I permit you not to act like a Russia. Yaakov acts like a tzaddik. Esav says, I don't agree with that mandate. It's right to act like a Russia.
So he had Esav's hand to kill him
then? Maybe.
I wrote it.
Possibly. Yeah, rats in Ritzutz. That's right. I mentioned that. Rats in what? Tzibur. Tzivui. Yeah, you can. That's right. There is tzivui. That's true. Yes. Yeah. That's actually Rashi says like you that he's taking Vayitrotzitzu and saying Matir Tzivui. Is Yitrotzitzu is like Matir Tzivui. Okay, now Rabbi Berechia says like this. What's he going to be concerned with, Rabbi Berechia, b'shem Rabbi Levi? Now, he says like this very often. Certain things are influenced in our lives, and most of the time it is like that, are after we're born. What we see, what's around us, and what we grow up with influences us, right? It for positive or for good or for bad, it takes a village to raise a child. I mean, it goes all over. Now, Rabbi Levi says that the Yisroel Tzitzu has a special message in it. Shelo Tomar, you shouldn't say what I just said. That Mishayotza Mimei Moin is Daviglo. That his character, Esav's character, came to him after he was born. In other words, to be combined with the evil came to Esav only post birth. Postnatal, no. Ela ad shelo ad shehu. I'm sorry. Ad shehu b'me'eimo zirse mesucha lekavle. Even while he was in his mother's womb, before being born, his fist was tense to hit someone or to someone who was opposite of him. So he was pre-born with a violent streak, Esav. Doesn't mean he couldn't work on it and correct himself, but this was within his nature from the very beginning. That's what it's saying here. Now, how do I know that? So he brings a pasuk in Tehillim, Hadohu Dichsiv. This is what's written, Zoyru Rishayim Meirachem. Literally, the Rishayim are winnowed from the womb. And he says, Zeres, he darshins from the word Zoru. Zoru is part of what Zeres is. Zeres can mean a fist. The Zeres is also half of an amma, but it's translated also as a fist here in the Medrash. Huh? Zeresh with the shin, not with the tav. Okay, now the question though is, it says Vayisrotzitzu Habonim Bikirba, and we had an explanation as to the rivalry between the two. But how did this rivalry, that each one either wanted to kill the other, or each one wanted to permit what was a mandate or a culture by the other and say it was forbidden, but how was this feud manifest? Where was it recognizable? So it says they were Yisrotzitzu Bikir Bo, yet while they were in her midst, inside of her. So what is the emphasis on the word Bikir Bo? She hasn't given birth yet. It could have said Vayisrotzitzu Habonim. The boys were struggling, or whatever word you want for Vayisrotzitzu. They were struggling. What does it have to say Bikir Bo in her midst? Of course in her midst. She's carrying twins and she didn't give birth. So of course it's Bikir Bo. So what does Bikir Bo add over here? So the emphasis is, says the Midrash, this is also basically in Rashi, in Chumash, Bisha Shahisa Obedis Al Batech Nesi Yisuvete Midrashis. I guess in her town there were a lot of shuls. Maybe they had a community koilul, I don't know. But at the time that she was standing near, Medesal means she was standing near a shul where they daven, or a Beis Medrash where they learn, Yaakov Mefarches Lotzis. Yaakov was struggling to get out. He wanted to go and join, wanted to hear a shir. I don't know if on the Midrash of this Parsha, but he wanted to hear a shir. He wanted to learn. He was trying to burst to get out. So the bursting was in her midst, meaning to burst out of her midst. That's the emphasis here. And that is a pasuk, Kadohu Dichsiv, that's written at the beginning of Yirmiya. We read it in the Haftorah of the first Shabbos in the 3 week, during the 3 weeks. That Hashem said to Yirmiya, Beterem etzarcha babeten yidaticha. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, in her stomach, I knew you, meaning I, as if to say, Hashem identified that Yirmiya is going to be a Navi. That's what it says there. V'terem teitzei merechem hikdashticha, Navi lagoyim nesaticha. That's the rest of the pasuk. That v'terem etzarcha yidaticha. Yeah. And before you left from the womb, I formed you. And Novi Lagoyim Nisaticha, I made you a Novi for the nations, means for the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. But anyway, there is such a concept that a person, even before they are formed, have certain tchunas, they have certain automatic natural tendencies and capabilities, and these were the tendencies of Yaakov Avinu in his nature before he was born. So there is such a thing as what we're showing in Yirmiya. Then it's not all over yet. Here comes the big conflict that was in her midst. Uvishah shahoysay veres al batei avaydas chichavim. Esav rotzum afachis lotzes. When she was passing by the houses of avodas chichavim, you notice there's a very special, distinct language. When it comes to the shuls in Batei Medrash, she would be omedes, she would stand. When it was a Beis Avodah Zarah, she didn't stand. You could say she couldn't stand it. She had to get past it. So she was overis, she had to go by it. She had to pass it. So Esav rotzum afachis lotzis. At that point, Esav wanted to get out. Maybe he didn't want her to stop, and he didn't want her to go past it. He wanted her to stop. But Hadohu Dichsiv, that's the posuk that we had previously mentioned. Zoyru Rishoyim Meirechem. Rishoyim are winnowed, or are, could be Zoru is from the word Zera, are seeded from the womb. So here was the conflict that is Bikir Ba in her midst, meaning in some way that was relevant to her, there was a struggle. Now, Vatomer, here comes an interesting medrash that needs to be understood. Vatomer im kain lomaza anochi. This is obviously a quote from the pasuk that Rivka said, im kain, if it's so, if Rashi says in the Chumash, gadol tsar ha'ibur, if the aggravation, if the pain of the pregnancy is so great, lama zeh anochi, why is this me? Now, what is the zeh? Lama zeh, but what's lama zeh with the anochi? What does this mean? And who is she saying this to? It says she said it. Usually, unless the Torah says that she said it to herself, vatomer eliba, she said to her heart, she said to herself, she said to her conscience. If it says vatomer, that's verbalized. It was said to someone else. Usually, who did she say it to? So we're going to find out who she said it to. No, she didn't go to Shem Va'ever yet. Later on, Vatelech. Later on, the next words of the Pasuk is, she went to consult by Shem Va'ever. She went to consult God's, something godly. But at this point, she didn't go yet. But she's saying it. I mean, is she talking to the walls? Is she talking to herself? Who's she speaking to? So let's find out. And Rabbi Yitzchak says a logical thing. He says, Melamed, it teaches us, this was a normal thing that when a woman is pregnant and she never had any children before, she's expecting for the first time. Even today, with all of these how to do it books out there, a woman is going to go and consult other women and find out, did you ever hear of such a thing? Did you ever go through something like this? So that's what's happening here. So Melamed, it teaches us, I mean, who would she say a complaint to? A woman who is expecting for the first time will share her frustration with other women. So that's their lesson here, Melamed, it teaches us. Shahoisa imenu Rivka mechazeres al pischein shel nashim. Our matriarch Rivka would go to the doors of women. Vomeres lohen, and she would say to them, asking them, Higiyo lachem atzar hazeh biyameichem. Did you ever have such an experience? Your old-time mothers, you know other women who are or who were mothers. Did anything like this ever encounter? Did you ever encounter anything like this throughout your years of experience? Ever the pain to the extent that I'm suffering the pain over here? So she would say, Im kachu tzairei shel bonim, v'halavai lo yibarti. If this is the pain of bearing children, halavai, I would never have conceived it. I would never have been pregnant. Now, the obvious question that raises the big red flags, you want to say something? Well, it could be that, number one, you can say it could be that it was greater at those times, but that there was such a contradiction was manifest at those times. But it doesn't mean that at enough hours they weren't struggling. That's point number one. There's a famous question they ask. It's not really relevant to the Midrash, but it's a question that's asked. I even saw somebody, Talmud Chacham, once wrote a whole piece on it. But a very good question, actually. One of the young girls in Shul asked me this a few years ago. It's a very good question. The question is, if we learn the whole Torah before we're born, why should Yaakov want to leave? I mean, he's not gonna get such a full course of Torah in this world. Why did he want to leave? If a malach is teaching him Torah, Why do you want to leave?
No choice.
Besides, there's no. Yeah, that could be an answer. He wanted to learn Torah with a choice, but they say an answer that's actually brought down. Although it's and it has a lot of truth to it. Better to learn less Torah in good company than to have a malach spoon feed you the Torah with Esav nearby. Especially if they were struggling anyway, as it was. He felt he was better off outside of there in an alternative spot. No, I don't know. I mean, it's written. I saw it in Sfarim. I mean, I even saw it once in Arishan somewhere. I have to look again for it, but I saw it somewhere. It's a good answer. There are other answers as well that are pretty good answers. But in any case, what does it mean that Rivka, such a great tzaddikus, she knows very well that who Yitzchak is and what their future is, what they're meant to do, and at the same time, she's expressing, even with the awareness that her pregnancy might be even more than others, although you don't see that directly in the words of her grievance. Her grievance is, if this is the pain of sons, she doesn't say of her kids, but she says, if this is seemingly the common pain, halavai, I shouldn't have it. Now, what does she mean with that? I'll come to what she means soon. But I just want to see Rav Huna first. Rabbi Huna Omar. He looks at it a little differently. And he says, im kachani yosid, if my future is going to be to set up 12 tribes, halavai I wasn't pregnant, which is minyan zeh, which is zeh. Lama zeh anochi, zeh is 7 plus 5, a zayin and a hey, is 7 plus 5 is 12. Why do I need to be the one to have or to lead up to the 12 Shvatim? Now, what is the difference between these two Shvatim over here? So, we have to understand what it is that Rivka is complaining about. To the extent that halavai, I should have never given, halavai, I should have never become pregnant. You wait 20 years, you get pregnant, you're praying for 20 years, but if this is the outcome, I wish I wasn't pregnant. What does she mean by that? So my great-grandfather in Be'er Mayim explains that what it means is that she was saying, according to the first opinion, and we'll have to see where the two are saying something different. The first opinion, Rabbi Yitzchak, is saying she sees the conflict here between the children, as we just learned. One wants to burst out when we come to spiritual locations, and the other wants to burst out when we come to defile, to base Avodah Zorah locations. They're constantly struggling inside. Now, Rivka understood that that there is, even though we'll find that she heard it later from shame, she heard it on a deeper level, which I don't think we'll get to. But she realized that there is a problem here, that her children are going to have different leanings. So she said in the first pshat, if this is what I'm going to have to deal with as a mother, my spirituality is going to be deeply compromised. So why do I need this type of an experience of a mother raising a child? I'm going to have someone who is not good over here. Or even if she knew at this time that they weren't twins, it will mean I'm going to have real contradictions in one child. There's going to be a walking paradox here. How am I going to handle all of this? And in order to deal with it, my own spirituality might be ill-influenced, or I might have to give up a lot of myself, and I will compromise who I am or who I should be. That's the first way. The second way that the emphasis is on the Shvatim, she says, if this is how I'm bearing kids, and this is assuming she knew that there were twins, then how can I handle this? How will this create a strong, viable Klal Yisrael? If this is indicative of the Shvatim, she assumed that this might be the beginning of the 12 Shvatim. So if it is, because they knew there were meant to be 12 Shvatim. So if this is the beginning, and already it's starting off that they're at each other's throats, they want to kill each other, they're struggling in this way, there are paradoxes in their behavior, how will such a nation be able to be cohesive and be able to function side by side? How will the Shvatim be able to exist? That was their question. Why is Zeh? Why is it Zeh? What's the point of having 12 Shvatim, that Anochi, that I'm pregnant for these 12 Shvatim? So one of the Mandomrim says, and I don't think that they're in conflict, one says she was conflicted as to where she stands in her own spirituality. And the other Mandomar says she was concerned, maybe not so much about herself, but she was concerned about the future of Klal Yisrael. If this is the start, it's a pretty virtually a rocky start over here. How is this going to last? How will this be able to maintain the integrity of a cohesive nation? Now, here there is a remez. Tani b'shem Rabbi Nechemya. Now, Rabbi Nechemya is going to explain, how did Rivka know, or from where did it occur to her that she might mother 12 children? Maybe not out of one womb, out of one childbirth, but where did she get this premonition that the 12 tribes are going to come from her, that she's focused so much on what the future of the tribes will be? Are they going to have this type of spiritual beyond sibling rivalry? So for that, we learned in the name of Reb Nechemya. Re'uya ha'isa Rivka shi'amdu mimena yud be'shvatim. Rivka was worthy to have all 12 shvatim be mothered by her. Now, where do we have that? We have a remez to that. Hadohu d'chsiv, that's what's written in the next pasuk, when Rivka consulted Shem to find out what is going on inside of her. So Vayomer Hashem Lo, through the word of God, it was said to Rivka, Shnei goyim bevitnech, there are two nations in your womb. Dotrein, those are two. Ushnei le'umim, and two nations. So Do arba, now we have four, two and two. Ula'om mila'om ya'amatz is another two. One nation from another will be strengthened, will sprout forth, is six. Then verav yavot sa'ir, and the greater one will serve, or the older one will serve the younger one, or the less one who appears to be of less stature. That's another two, tamnaya. That's eight. Then it says, Vayimlu'u yomeh al-aledes. The next pasuk says, her days went by and she was ready to give birth. So that is Asora, another Ted. Vayetze harishon admoni, the first one came out red, is 11, achad asar. Very, very hard remez to understand. Vachrechen yotza achiv, then his brother came out, is train asar. That's two. And then the east, there are some, like we said before, the Meisen Leimin Hadein Kra. They bring it from this pasuk itself, not from the next psukim. They bring the hint, Vatomer Imkein Lamaze Anochi. She said, Lamaze, the Zez, Zayin is Shiva, He is Chamisha. Advanced math we know is Treinosar, Minyan Ze. That's the Gematria of Ze, is 12. So that's the Lama Zeh Anochi. So, but what we do have in the meantime are hints that she was fit for having the 12 tribes come out of her. Okay, here's just a quick one. I'll say the time is a little short. Vatelech Lidroshes Hashem, she went to consult God. So we had this question. Did they have shuls and batei midrash and community koilels in those days? It said she went to the, in plural, she passed by shuls and by batei midrash. So the midrash asks our questions, so we weren't just joking. V'chi batei chneisiyis uvatei midrashes hayu b'isan hayomim. Were there houses of study and of prayer in those days? She could only go to the Beis Midrash of Shem Va'ever. So Ella, rather, the idea is Lalamdach, it comes to teach you that Shekol Mi Shehu Makpil Pnei Zokin Kemakpil Pnei Shechina. Whoever goes out and greets the presence of an elderly sage is like greeting the Shechina. So apparently there were such sages around, and